بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome back for the class today on the fiqh of Tahara, the fiqh of purification, inshallah ta'ala. Today we'll be reading a very important hadith regarding the wudu, inshallah ta'ala. I'll start out, inshallah, by reading the Arabic with a translation, and we'll go over the meaning of it and the commentary together, inshallah ta'ala. This hadith was narrated by Abu Huraira. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أمتي يأتون يوم القيامة غرا محجلين من أثر الوضوء فمن استطاع منكم أن يطيل غرته فليفعل. حديث متفق عليه. And this lafaz is by Muslim. The translation of this hadith, Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he stated that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, my ummah will come on the day of resurrection with ghurran muhajjaneen, radiant faces and feet, from the traces of wudu. So if any of you can extend his ghurra, his brightness, then let him do so. Again, I'll repeat the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira. He said that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, my ummah will come on the day of resurrection. Indeed, my ummah will come on the day of resurrection with radiant faces and feet. Ghurran muhajjaneen. We'll talk about the meaning of those two words. From the traces of wudu. If any of you can extend his brightness, then let him do so. Hadith is agreed upon by both the Imams Bukhari and Imam Muslim. So inshallah, this hadith is actually a hadith that there is a lot of knowledge regarding it, a lot of discourse. Some of the ulama, they wrote 30 or 40 pages of commentary just on this hadith, including Ibn Abdul Barr. Ibn Abdul Barr was one of the great scholars who commentated on the Muwatta of Imam Malik. And so he wrote a whole volume. Volume 20 of his commentary is all about this hadith. And so let us read the hadith together, word by word, and discuss the meaning, inshallah ta'ala. First, we see that Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he's saying that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Inna ummati. Inna ummati. Inna in Arabic, it is called adat tawkeed. It is something that is an emphatic. When you say inna, that means indeed something happened. And the Arabs, they don't use the word inna unless there's a reason for it. They use it when they feel that the person, the listener, has a doubt about what they're going to say. So if they were to say Muhammad came in the house, they could just say Muhammad dakhal al-bayt. But if they thought that somebody had a doubt about it, that did Muhammad come in the house or not, they would say, Inna Muhammadan dakhal al-bayt. They would use this emphatic to remove any type of ambiguity in the mind of the listener. So the word Inna, when we see it in the Quran al-Kareem, oftentimes it comes emphasizing the Day of Judgment. Because the mushrikeen, they had a doubt, a denial of it. So Allah, He brought the emphatic to show that, to remove that doubt, that indeed this is true. It is certainly true. And so this hadith, it begins with that. Inna ummati. The Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, indeed, my ummah will come. As if there's some doubt on the part of the listener. But what is that doubt that on the part of the listener? Was there some question or some events that happened before this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ had to say, indeed, my ummah will come with light on their faces and hands? We'll see, inshallah, towards the end of today's dars, the story behind this hadith. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, Ummati. Ummati, as you know, Ummah, it is the nation. Ummati means my nation. And the nation or the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ is of two types. There's two, or the ulama, they describe the Prophet's ummah as in two types. There's the ummah of da'wah. The ummah of da'wah, they're the people that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to from his time until the Day of Judgment. Every human being that came, that will live after the time of the Prophet ﷺ to the Day of Judgment, they are from the ummah of da'wah. The Christians, the Jews, the Hindus, anybody who lives after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they are from his ummah. But which ummah? The ummah of da'wah. Everybody that we see in America today, they're from the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, the ummah of da'wah. And then there's another part of his ummah, which is called ummatul istijaba. And they're from his ummah, they are those who responded to the da'wah. And we are from the ummah of istijaba, inshaAllah ta'ala. The believers, they're from the special ummah called the ummah of istijaba. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, indeed, my ummah will come on the Day of Judgment with light on their faces and hands. Which ummah is he referring to? Is he referring to the ummah of da'wah or the ummah of istijaba? Those who answered? The ummah of istijaba. Those who didn't answer his call, they will not have this great merit on the Day of Judgment. They will not have the light on their hands and on their faces. So he's saying, indeed, my ummah, inna ummati ya'tun. Ya'tuna yawm al-qiyamah. Yawm al-qiyamah, of course, the nations will come forward after the resurrection, the ba'atha. There will be the blowing of the horn, and all of the nations, they will come forward together with their prophets. Every nation they will have with them, the prophet will have with them, their ummah behind them. And so, of course, the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, my ummah also, inna ummati, my ummah will come forward also on the Day of Judgment. And they will be having this quality. Ghurran muhajjini. Ghurran muhajjini. Okay, they will have light on their hands and on their faces and on their feet from the traces of wudu. So why does this hadith, how is this related to what the chapter of wudu? What it's telling us, what this hadith is telling us, is that one should perfect their wudu, they should cover the limbs completely in order that they achieve this merit on the Day of Judgment. This is why Ibn Hajar, he's mentioning his hadith, he wants us to learn the fiqh of making wudu, that one should cover his limb, and even if he extends, whoever can extend it beyond the limit, manistata, whoever can make his light more, then let him do so. So he brought this hadith in order for us to realize the benefit or the merit of covering the wudu or covering the limbs properly with the wudu. Now, ghurran muhajjini. The hadith, it says that my ummah will come ghurran muhajjini. What do these two words mean in Arabic? Ghurran, in Arabic, it refers to a type of stallion, a type of horse that has white hair on its forelock, on its forehead. Certain horses, especially horses that are a very high breed, a very special horse or stallion, they have like a diamond shape on their forehead, a white spot of hair, or they have maybe a circle of hair on their head. And this shining, this white part on their head, it's a symbol of their high breed. It's a sign of their nobility and the high breed of the horses. It's very rare. Not every horse, it has the ghurra on its forehead, on its forelock. So the ghurra, what it refers to is the white hair that grows on the forehead of a stallion. And the muhajjineen, what that refers to is that some of the horses also near their hoofs, they grow white hair around their hoofs. They have whiteness around the hoofs of the horse on their legs. This kind of horse is called muhajjal. Muhajjal is not a common horse, not every horse has it. Actually, it's a very special stallion that will have these two qualities or these two things on the Day of Judgment. So these two things show the merit or the beauty of a horse and its high breed. The Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, indeed, my ummah will come on the Day of Judgment, ghurran muhajjinin. So what is he saying? Is he saying that the ummah, of course, it doesn't mean that they will have white hair on their hands and on their foreheads. This is not what is meant. This is a type of metaphor. What he's referring to is that instead of the whiteness on their forehead, what will they have? They have nur. the nur will be shining forth from their forehead and from their feet. Nurun, nuruhum yasa bayna aydihim wa bi aymanihim, right? Their light shall go forward from in front of them and from their right sides, or their right hands. The light will be shining forth. So this is a type of analogy that the people will have light shining on their faces and on their feet on the Day of Judgment. And this will be, actually the word wudu itself, it comes from the Arabic word dol, which means light. Wudu itself, it literally it means light. So the traces of the wudu, the places where they made wudu, it will be shining light for the believers on the Day of Judgment. May Allah make us of them. So this ummah, they will come forward and they will have light on their hands and on their faces and on their feet. The ghurran muhajjaleen, it refers to the ghurra, the forehead, and the feet. The arms are not particularly mentioned in the hadith. And some of the ulama, they say it's sufficient because the upper part of the body will have light and the lower part of the body will have light. So it suffices for all of the body. Then, towards the next part of the hadith, we see that the hadith mentions, so whoever amongst you, indeed my ummah will come on the Day of Judgment, ghurran muhajjineen, from the traces of wudu, so whoever amongst you can extend the amount of his ghurra, his light, then let him do so. So how does a person extend their ghurra, the hair? It's, of course, again, it's not referring to the hair literally. But what is it? It's a type of metaphor, which means how do you extend your light? By extending the wudu, by making the wudu more emphatic. Now how do you make your wudu more extended in order to have more light? Some of the ulama, they said that it's by going beyond the limits of the wudu, by going beyond the elbow, even up to the shoulder. Like Abu Huraira, he used to do that. He used to extend the water beyond the edges of the limb, all the way beyond up to the shoulder. And likewise on his leg, he would go up halfway on his leg. So some of the ulama, they said this is how you extend one's light, by going beyond the edge of the limb. But other ulama, they said, no, this is not what is meant. What is meant is rubbing the limbs well and using the water well, and this is how you will produce more light. By covering the limb completely, this is how you can extend your light and produce more light. And not simply by covering more area, but also covering the limb properly. Now what we see from Abu Huraira, once he was making wudu on the roof of the masjid, and the people, they saw him washing all the way up to his elbows, all the way up to his shoulders. So they said, oh Abu Huraira, why are you doing this? Why are you washing beyond the limb or beyond the elbows? He said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say, indeed, my ummah will come on the Day of Judgment, ghurran muhajjaneen, from the traces of wudu, so whoever can extend it, let him do so. So Abu Huraira, he was of the opinion that it is recommended to go beyond the boundaries of the limb, that one should go beyond the elbows and beyond the ankles. And this is what some of the ulama agreed with. However, what we look at, if we look at all of the other narrations of the other sahaba, we don't find that any other sahaba performed this by going beyond the edges, up to the shoulder or up to the knees. We didn't find that amongst any of the other sahaba. And so when we look at this hadith, so whoever can extend his brightness, let him do so, we don't find that the Prophet ﷺ himself did that. The Prophet ﷺ has never narrated that he went beyond the elbows or he went beyond the ankles. So many of the ulama, they say that these words, whoever can extend his wudu, his light, let him do so, they say they're not the words of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. But they say they are the commentary of who? Who's the one who narrated the hadith? Abu Huraira. So they say that Abu Huraira, he interpreted the hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said that my ummah will come with light, and he said, and he put his own comments into the hadith, and he said, extend it, whoever can, let him extend it. That was his own ijtihad, his own understanding, but that was not the understanding of the other sahaba. This type of wording in the hadith is called mudraj, an insertion. And the ulama, they're very careful to detect these type. Sometimes some of the sahaba, they would explain something. They would make an insertion into the hadith, and the ulama, they, through their expertise, they would discover these places that words have been inserted. One time there was a Sahabi, there was an Imam, he was narrating hadith, and as he was narrating the hadith, somebody walked in and his face was very beautiful. He had a lot of light. So during the narration of the hadith, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا. Then he said, whoever prays at night, his face will have light in the daytime. And so the students, they wrote that down, they thought it was part of the hadith. So they wrote it in the middle of the hadith, whoever prays at night, his face will have light in the daytime. So later on, the ulama, they looked at the book of hadith, and they saw Rasulullah said this, but they found that that part was never said by Rasulullah. So it got inserted, the comments got inserted inside of the hadith. The experts of hadith, the scholars, through the light of Allah, they were able to detect this type of insertion. And of course, the words of an imam, no matter how great he is, can it compare to the words of Prophet Muhammad? It cannot. So we automatically have to remove those words, even if they're the words of a great sahabi. If Abu Huraira had that opinion, that's correct for him, and he can practice that. But the other ulama, the other sahaba, they didn't practice that, so we don't... The majority of the ulama, they say that this is special for Abu Huraira, it was his understanding, but others, they did not do that. The Prophet ﷺ himself, what he would do is make a circle around his elbow. He would go around his elbow with water and cover the elbow, but he didn't go beyond it. And so this is perhaps what is best, this is what is mentioned in the Qur'an. وَغْسِلُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Right? It says in the Qur'an, wash your arms up to the elbows and including the elbows. Okay, now let's go back, inshallah, to the beginning of the hadith. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say, indeed, my ummah will come with light on the Day of Judgment from the traces of wudu? What is the story behind this hadith? The story is actually very interesting. It was narrated by Imam Malik in his Muwatta, one of the great books that he wrote. He said that the Prophet ﷺ, once he went to the graveyard, and he went and he entered into the graveyard, and he said to the people in the graveyard, Assalamu alaikum ali dari qawmin mu'mineen. Peace be upon you, all those people of, believing people of this inhabitants. Inna insha'Allah bikum lahiqun. Wa inna insha'Allah bikum lahiqun. He spoke to the people in the graveyard, indeed we shall be following you, we will come after you in this grave. Insha'Allah, we will come after you. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Insha'Allah, not because he didn't know if he was going to join the believers in the grave, but the ulama, they say that Insha'Allah sometimes can be said for blessing. That we say, Insha'Allah, I'm going to do this, and it's a type of blessing, or it could mean he didn't know if he was going to be buried in that particular cemetery in Medina. Although he wanted that, he would love to be buried in Medina, but he did not know for sure he would die in Medina or on the battlefield. So he said, Insha'Allah, I will be following you, people of the grave. So he entered into the graveyard and he said, Insha'Allah, wishing to be buried there. Of course, being buried in Medina, it has a great merit. It's one of the greatest things. Once there was a janazah, the Prophet ﷺ, he entered and they had dug a hole and he was looking in the hole. And somebody else, another sahabi came, and this was in Medina, he looked in the hole in the ground. He said, what a terrible place to spend one's, to put a dead body. What a terrible place, resting place for the dead. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, why do you say this? What a terrible place. He said, no, I don't mean that it's terrible to go to the grave. What I meant is that I would much rather die in the battlefield and be buried away in a battlefield and not be buried here. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, no, it is much more better to be buried in Medina. He wanted to be buried in Medina. And he said it would be better, he would himself would love to wish to be buried in Medina. So he told the Sahabi, this is a noble place to be rested. Even though it's great to die in the battlefield, he said it's even better. It's as good to die here in Medina and be buried there. So it's a great merit to be buried in Medina. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ, he entered into the graveyard and he said salam to the people of the grave. And then he said, I wish I could see my brothers. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, I wish I could see my brothers. So the Sahaba around him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, aren't we your brothers? He said, no, you are my Sahaba. You are my companion. But my brothers are those who will come after me they will believe in me even though they didn't see me. So the my brothers will believe in me, and I wish that I saw them. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, I wish I could see my brothers. And I shall wait for them at the Hawd. Does everybody know what the Hawd is? The Hawd? The Hawd is the place on the Day of Judgment. There's a pool of water coming from Jannah. The Kawthar is feeding from Jannah, and the Prophet ﷺ will be giving people to drink from that Hawd. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, I wish I could see my brothers. They believe in me, although they have not seen me. I will be waiting for them at the Hawd. I'll be waiting for them with water at the Hawd to give them the water. And so the Sahaba, they said right away, they thought, how will you know they are from your ummah? How will you know that they're your brothers if you've never seen them? So they had some kind of, they were amazed that the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, I'm going to wait for them with water at the Hawd, but he never saw them. So here, the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say in response? How is he going to recognize his ummah, his brothers? He said, by the light on their hands and on their faces. Indeed, my ummah will come on the Day of Judgment, ghurran muhajjirin, with light on their faces and on their hands, from the traces of wudu. So this is why he said, indeed. You see why he said indeed? Because the Sahaba, they didn't understand. How is he going to recognize his ummah? So the Prophet ﷺ, he'll recognize us, his ummah, through the traces of the wudu. He will see us through by the traces of the wudu. And just one last point, inshaAllah ta'ala, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that he dreamt or he wished he could see his brothers. And his brothers, the Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, he mentions almost 30 pages of hadith that explain who are these brothers, and other narrations that support this. Who are the brothers that the Prophet ﷺ wished to see? One narration, he said, they will come after me, they will believe in me even though they did not see me. One of them wishes that he could see me so much that he would sacrifice all of his wealth and all of his family in order to see me. So may Allah make us of those people who love to see Prophet Muhammad. Also, he said in a hadith, this is narrated by Ibn Abdul Barr, and it's an amazing hadith, he said that, which iman is the greatest, is the best? The Prophet ﷺ, he asked the Sahaba, they said the angels, they have the strongest iman. The Prophet ﷺ said, it is true, but not them. They have to believe the command of Allah comes directly to them. They cannot reject belief in Allah. So then they said, the iman of the prophets. The Prophet ﷺ said, true, they have the strongest iman, but they have to believe the wahi comes to them directly from Allah. So then the Sahaba, they said, who else? They said, us. Our iman is the best. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, you have to believe, yes, your iman is strong, but I'm amongst you. So you have to believe in me. I am here amongst you. So then they said, who then, Ya Rasulullah? He said, my brothers. He said, the best people of iman are the people who will come after me. They will read about me in papers and things written about me, and they will act in accordance to that. SubhanAllah, Ibn Abdul Barr, he mentions this hadith narrated by the Prophet ﷺ, that people will come after the Prophet ﷺ, they will read his words on papers, and they will act in accordance to them. These are the people that are the brothers, they have the best iman. When they read about the Prophet ﷺ, they will have the best of iman. This is mentioned in the book At-Tamheed by Ibn Abdul Barr in volume number 20. A hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. They will read about me on papers and act in accordance to it. And finally, the ummati, the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna ummati, was to assure us, to assure the Sahaba that he will recognize those people who he hasn't seen by the light. Indeed, my ummah will come on the Day of Judgment, ghurran muhajjirin, that is, I shall recognize them by the signs of light on their faces and their hands. May Allah make us from them, inshaAllah ta'ala. InshaAllah, we'll continue with this hadith next time, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, wa jazakum allahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you. And if there's any quick question, inshallah, you're welcome to ask. Any other questions that anybody might have, inshallah. Yes, somebody had a question? Yes, Brother Sayyid, Brother Hassan.
Jazakum Allah khair. Could be the the term they used here to extend the light while we are in the state of wudu and do not disrupt the state of wudu. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu used to make wudu all the time when his wudu was disrupted.
That's right. Ahsant. What did Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mean? Or if we accept that it was the words of the Prophet, extend the light if he can. So some of the ulama, they said it means to go beyond the limb, like Abu Huraira, what used to do. Some of them, they said it meant rubbing the limbs well and covering it with water. Other ulama, they said making wudu on top of wudu. Nurun ala nur, as some narrations they say. You have wudu, but then you repeat the wudu again. The next salah comes in, and you say, I want to do wudu, even though I already have the state of wudu. So this will increase the amount of light, according to some of the ulama. They said that was one of the interpretations. Inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. May barak fiq. Any other questions, inshallah? Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless all of you. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Jazakallah khair.